preaching a sermon series. Today is the fourth message. Next week will be the fifth and concluding message on the breaking point. I have entitled today's message is that God has a plan. In Galatians 4:19, Paul declared, "My children, of whom I travail in pain, until Christ is formed in you." It reveals, I believe, the purpose of adversity. Because how many of you know that out of every test comes a testimony? Amen? Thank God that it does. So God's plan and purpose in this life is that you and I will be conformed to the image of His Son. Romans 8:29, we may be familiar with Romans 8:28, because Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." When you're going through something, we all like to make a reference to that verse, right? Quote that verse. But the verse that follows it, verse 29, says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." God is all about forming the image of His Son in you and I. And what we're going to talk about today in the Breaking Point series is that in the midst of every trial, every test, every tribulation, is that God has a plan. I want to give you 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, one of the first verses I ever memorized as a young believer. And I was just thinking of all the graduations, and I remember graduating from high school 42 years ago. And I was like, "Lord, was it that long? Am I that old now? 40. Don't agree with that, Becky. 42 years ago. You know, I got saved in my senior year of high school, became a born-again Christian. I'll never forget walking up on Manhattan Boulevard, graduating with the headbanging class of West Jeff, class of 77. I'll never forget walking up for the rehearsal. We had our graduation over at Municipal Auditorium in New Orleans, and we had at the Jefferson Parish Public School facility on Manhattan Boulevard. It's where we had the graduation ceremony. Well, I'd just gotten saved in September of 1976, and was so on fire for God. I mean, God had called me into ministry, and man, I was eating, breathing, living the Word of God every day of my life. And, but I was a novice in the faith. And I remember walking up outside. I parked my Buick LeSabre that was given to me by my cousin. And parking that tank in the parking lot, walking up, I saw all of my homies lined up, ready to go in for the graduation ceremony. They said, "Ah, here comes that Jesus freak. Here comes Smith, that Jesus freak." And, I said, what's your word today for us, Smith?" I said, "I'm looking for the sky to open and for Jesus to appear and take me home." And they all just rolled in laughter. You know, they just thought it was all a big joke, you know. But thank God, still going for Jesus 42 years later. Amen. The sky hadn't opened up yet, but how many of you know it's coming? Amen. It's coming. Listen, the world's full of unbelievers. Don't associate with them unbelievers, man. He's coming. His word says He's coming, and I believe His word. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 10:13. I remember when I committed this verse to memory, and man, I needed it so desperately because I was facing a lot of temptation. You know, when you're trying to separate from associations, and you're trying to separate from a certain lifestyle, and that's what I was doing at the time. You need a word, amen. You need a word that will position you and help you to move forward. And I remember memorizing this verse. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd quote it. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And man, that became a verse near and dear to my heart. So I want to use that today in this message that God has a plan. I want to include the verse before it and the verse after verse 13. So we read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read this in verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands, who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he fall into sin. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. In other words, everybody's dealing with the same stuff. It's nothing out of the ordinary. Everybody deals with the same challenges, the same things that come at us. So he goes on and he says, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word. Thank God that he is. And to his compassionate nature. And he can be trusted not to let you be tempted, tried, and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, here it is, here's his plan. He will always, not sometimes, he will always provide a way out, the means of escape to a landing place. God will enable you to land on your feet. For all of you cat people, I've heard that that you can throw a cat in the air. Don't go throwing cats in the air, but I heard you can throw a cat in the air and he will always land on his feet. And, I guess my conclusion to that is that cats are acrobats, right? If they always land on their feet, all right? But God says that his plan is to get you to land on your feet. That's his plan. That's his purpose. And it says that in his plan of escape, his means of escape, he brings you to a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear it patiently. And you know what that means? It means you're going to grow. It means you're going to be smarter. You're going to be wiser. You're going to know more than you knew before. And life, my friend, has a way of teaching that to us. Amen? Because through every journey, through every trial, through every test, through every adversity, we should learn and we should grow from it. So as a child of God, the image of his son. I was just talking to someone after the service today, has gone through some things and, made a commitment to the Lord, has made a commitment to the house of God, and was sharing some things with me. And I said, what you're saying right there demonstrates that you are growing. And he was like, yeah, that's what it is. You know, because different response, different attitude, different mentality, you know, from what used to come down the pike. You know, so Christ be formed in you. All right, so I want to zero in on this verse because we're going to preach from this for a few minutes today, on this 13th verse of 1 Corinthians 10. And I want to zero in on the word temptation. And I want to define it. It's from this Greek word, so this is a biblical definition. It means a putting to proof by an experiment of good or evil. It means solicitation, provocation. It means to scrutinize or to entice. Now think about that for just a minute. Think about that definition of temptation. All right, because we're going to talk about the breaking point. You see, it's when people give in to temptation is how they break, because it's a snowball effect. And it goes downhill. You know, that's why I say sin choices don't remain the same. You know, they bring you deeper. I've quoted this before. I'll quote it again. It's this cliche, but it's so true. Sin will bring you further than you wanted to go. Sin will make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. And sin will make you pay more than you wanted to pay. And it's a cliche that we hear and we throw it around, but it is true. Amen. Because there's a snowball effect. You know, so there's always, you know, temptation that is coming at us. You know, putting to proof by an experiment of good or evil. Think of how people experiment with things. They experiment with drugs. People experiment with sexuality. I mean, all of life is full of experiments, is it not? And that's the very heart of what temptation really is all about. It's an experiment, you know, and there is a solicitation. There is a scrutinizing. There are things to entice. So that brings me to the first point that I want you to get in your soul today, is that there are forces in this world who are working, that are at work to bring you down, to break you down, to bring you down. There are forces. This is why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities and forces of darkness. He said it's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, high places. There are forces that are at work to bring you down. And how many of you know that people become instruments and channels of those forces? They do. And how many of you know that people will disappoint you? They will let you down. They will cause your hopes to be dashed. You know, that's why we can't ever put our faith and our confidence in people, because they're people and they fail. Amen? Everybody messes up. That's why the Bible encourages us that we should be prone to forgive people. It says that we should be kind and tenderhearted. Think about that. Kind and tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. So we should always give people grace. I like to say, I'll give you a hall pass. Because how many of you know, in our human nature, we are so prone to judge and stereotype, right? And cast judgment. But God in His Word says, don't be so quick to do that. He encourages us, give people grace. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Now that takes the Spirit of the Lord to do that, because in our nature, we don't really want to do that. You know, if somebody messes over us, we want to mess them up, right? That's why I say the way that I used to live my life, you know, if somebody messed over us, we were going to mess them up. Somehow, some way, we were going to mess them up. We were going to steal something from them. Or I can't tell you all my story. I got y'all know I got so many stories. But the fights, used to get in fights, and man, you know, because that, you know, didn't know any better. But when Jesus is in you, see, then things are different. See, conform to His image. There's a new character that is forming on the inside. But these forces that are at work, man, they want to break you down. And people will test you. And attitudes. You ever met anybody with a bad attitude? Have you ever watched Judge Judy? I would never bring my case before Judge Judy. I think I would be there and I would just like, yes, ma'am. You know, I mean, she is intimidating. And she basically tells people, you're stupid. I mean, I saw her yesterday. She was telling somebody, you're a liar and I don't believe you. She's rough. But she has this ability to kind of discern people. You know, and I don't think she's all the time 100% right. But man, she deals with some cases, you know, and she deals with some of course, I think she's, you know, pretty attitudinal herself, you know, but she does deal with some attitudes in the courtroom. And people, my friends, don't always reflect the right attitude. So then the tendency is you fight fire with fire, right? Give me bad attitude, I'm going to give you bad attitude back. I mean, we do feel like doing that, right? You know, but remember that there are forces that are at work that you can't see. All right, so you have to be smarter and wiser, and you have to discern it of what's really happening. All right, I love this verse in Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goes before destruction. Now, remember, we started off in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. All right, so pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Always remember this. Pride is living independently of God. Pride is when you act independently of God. You do what you want to do. You make choices, you make decisions, you don't consult God. See, that's how pride operates. And we have to understand it. And that's why the scripture says, pride goes before destruction. When 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, anyone who thinks he stands, what's he dealing with? He's addressing the pride issue. Take heed lest he fall. All right, so pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Haughty means to be snobbish, arrogant, conceited, or egotistical. Have you ever dealt with somebody that was snobbish, arrogant, conceited, and egotistical? Have you ever dealt with? Boy, you people don't. What world are y'all living in? They're all over the place. Well, let me ask another question. Have you ever been? Have you ever been snobbish, arrogant, conceited? Let's see how many raise their hand on this one. Oh, it's getting better. It's getting, some of you still staying neutral. The Holy Spirit said, stay neutral. Consider this in Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Hell and destruction are never full. In other words, There's many, they go down and they keep going down. Think of how many give in to the breaking point. Think of how many cave in. Think of how many give up. My friend, can I encourage you today? Don't ever give up, because with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. When God is in the mix, hallelujah, he's the equalizer. Thank God that he is. But there are forces that are at working to break you down. That temptation, that experiment, you know, the solicitation, the scrutiny, the enticement. We have to deal with those things every single day of our lives. As a minister of the gospel, you know, I have a call of God to preach his word. So I have a very strong responsibility that I have to keep my heart pure. I have to keep my spiritual life going, because every Sunday I got to bring it. Every Sunday I got to be ready to bring the word of God. And that's not an easy thing to do. So I have to keep my heart pure before God. I have to be careful what I set my eyes, you know, or allow my eyes to see. You know, like the psalmist said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Job said, I will walk in covenant with God with my eyes. You know, so I have to be very, very careful because I have to keep my life pure as a minister of the gospel. You know, and I take that call very serious, and that responsibility, I take that very serious because, you know, it's a gift. You know, it's a gift. To be in ministry is a gift, and I thank God for it. I remember when the Lord called me into ministry, and I never in my wildest imagination would have ever thought myself to be able to teach and preach God's word and lead a church. But God's plan, my friend, is greater than anything we could ever imagine. Hallelujah. Because he's God. Amen. And he does it. He works it out. You know, so I understand there are forces at work. I always think about David, the great King David, who was taken down by a woman because of adultery. And we always make a reference to David. You know, as men were out at battle, David's in the palace and he's just killing time. And then all of a sudden, Bathsheba, you know, she goes on the top of the roof of her house, which was right across the cobblestone pathway from David's palace. And she decides she's going to do a little skinny tanning. Y'all heard of skinny dipping? Well, there was some skinny tanning going on. And David, you know, saw that, and he was drawn into an adulterous affair. And we always kind of make a reference to David, you know, and then his repentance and his remorse and all the things that follow that. But many times we fail to bring out that this woman knew David was over there. Are y'all with me? And she knew that eyes could probably not turn away. So there are forces that are at work. Are y'all with me? Amen. There, I could give you example after example after example, and we find it all through the Word of God. You know, and temptation. You know, the proof by an experiment of good or evil. Well, there was the experiment. David failed. There's a lot of times where we may fail the experiment, but thank God we can get back up, and God is a God of grace and restoration. You may mess up. You may have been at the breaking point and gone broke, but thank God that God is a God of restoration. And that brings me to the next point, because there is a greater power that is at work in you. So there are forces that are working to break us down, but thank God there's a greater power that is at work in the life of a believer. I love these verses in the first epistle of John, chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4, it says, little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. There's the forces right there. There's the forces that are at work. All right, so he says to the believers that you have already defeated and overcome them because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. Never lose sight that God is more powerful than the devil. Never lose sight of that. Jesus has more authority than the devil. Never lose sight of that. And that's why the word says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. There's a greater power. A greater power. We read on, they proceed from the world because they are of the world. Therefore, it is out of the world, its whole economy, morally considered, that they speak, and the world listens and pays attention to them. He's talking about the voices of our world. The voices of our world that speak according to a belief system. They speak what is in their mind. And it may not necessarily be rooted in the Word of God because they don't know Jesus Christ. See, if the Spirit of the Lord is not in them, then they can't speak of the Spirit of the Lord. Are y'all with me? So, the Spirit of the world speaks only what it knows. So it endorses what it believes to be good or what it believes to be right. But with God not in the equation, then who makes up the rules? Think about it. Amen? If God is not in the equation, who makes up the rules? Is it the heart of sinful humanity that makes up the rules? Exactly. They make up their own rules. You know, because when God is in the equation, you know, he is the one that brings the wisdom, the guidance, the grace, and the direction. You know, but the world doesn't speak according to that because, it's as it says here, the economy morally considered, living by their own rules. The world listens and pays attention to those voices. But he says, we are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God progressively to perceive, recognize, understand God by observation and experience, and to get an ever clearer knowledge of him. That's the one who listens to us, is what John said. And he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know, we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Hallelujah. See, the Christ that is in the believer cannot be broken. Never forget, Satan didn't break Jesus, even though he tried. He tried to break Jesus. He could not break him. Jesus ended up breaking the devil and stripping him of all of his authority. And that's why when he was raised from the dead and he ascended back to heaven, he said, he gave the great commission to his disciples. And what did he say? All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Take the word of God. Take the gospel into all of the world. As a born-again child of God, we receive that commission. And then he gave us the energy of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. See, there is a greater power that is at work in you and I. And it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. All right, let me move on. Here's the next thing I want you to get. Listen, when you are pushed, when this world pushes you, when those forces push you, realize you can push back. Hallelujah. If you're energized by a power that's greater than anything in this world, and the power of God is greater, the power of the Holy Spirit is greater. Hallelujah. It's awesome. It's incredible. The power that enables us to do what we could not ordinarily do. So get Psalms 18 in your soul. Psalms 18 is a great, great psalm to refer to. Read it every day. Refer to it every day. Get it in you because it talks about being able to push back. When you feel you're at the breaking point, you may be at your lowest point of weakness and defeat. And realize that God has a supernatural plan to make you stand. I always love what Paul said. When he said this, he said, I will glory in my infirmities. He said, because it's at my point of weakness when the power of God kicks in. And that's why he said, I will glory in my weakness. Because when I have reached my weakest point, we talked last week about his point of despair, right? That they were pressed beyond measure, you know, pressed to the breaking point. At my lowest point, at my point of weakness, God is going to kick in. There's going to be some supernatural ability that comes to me at that very moment when I need it. Look at what he says in Psalms 18, verse 27. He said, you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. Brings us back to what we were just talking about, the proud and the haughty. All right, so God's word says right here, he says that you will save the humble, but you will bring down haughty looks. He said, you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. In my darkest moment, there's going to be a glimmer of light that God allows to shine in. He goes on and he says, for by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all of those who trust in Him. That's why you can't trust people. You have to trust God. Amen. Don't put your confidence in people because they will fail you. Put your confidence in God. His way is proven. He's a shield. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, and He sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Hallelujah. A bow of bronze. He's talking about supernatural strength. Now, he's not talking in the realm of physical strength. He's talking in the realm of spiritual strength. There is spiritual power. There is spiritual strength. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm stronger today than I was last week because I've learned more. I've grown. I'm stronger today than I was yesterday. See, because God's plan is to always keep us moving up. That's why Paul said, I travail in pain until Christ is formed in you. See, all of us, we're still in that process of being formed. And that's why he said, Romans 12:1, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think different. Amen? Think different. Because everybody lives according to how they think. Proverbs said that. Proverbs 4:23, as a man thinks, as he believes in his heart, so is he. That's how he lives his life. We live according to what is in our mindset. So I have to get my mind thinking clear. I have to get it thinking in truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? His word is truth. He prayed a prayer over his disciples. He said, sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right, let's read on in two more verses, verse 35. He said, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. In other words, I did not break because God has a plan. And He gives us all that we need at the moment when we need it. That's why the Word of God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. You might think that you're at the breaking point. You might think you need a drink. You might think you need a cigarette. You might think you need a pill. You might think you need whatever that crutch may be. But I'm here to tell you today that when you think you need those things, my friends, if you can understand you need God more than anything else, and at your lowest point, at that breaking point, God has a supernatural plan to make you stand. Hallelujah. Thank God. That is good news. How is it possible? Because remember, He has an escape clause. He has an escape plan. So there are three responses based upon 1 Corinthians 10:13. There are three responses to life's adversities. Number one, get this truth. God is faithful. He's faithful. That's part of His character. That's part of His nature. That's who He is. He's faithful. God is faithful. And guess what? He changes not. And guess what? He's not moody. See, all of you folks are moody. Becky's never moody, but I am. She's the same every day, as long as she gets her way. Nothing changes. See, I figured out how the plan works. So I go with the plan. Hallelujah. That's why I say, men, just give them everything they want. Just whatever they tell you to do, just do it. Just tell me where to show up and what time. and just go with it, you know. And I'm telling you, man, it is going to be so unified. It will. But, you know, people in general are moody. Aren't you glad that God is not like that? I remember when I was working in the beverage industry, and you know, every morning we had to report. Well, not every morning. We actually didn't have to report. And only 2 days a week we had to report in, but we had to always check in with our district manager, and with sales meetings we had to report every Tuesday, and I always think, well, I wonder what kind of mood he's going to be in today. Is he going to be in a good mood or in a bad mood? Because people are kind of, they go by circumstances, right? You know, if things are going good, then people generally feel good. If things are not going good, then they don't feel so good, right? You know, it's mood swings. Isn't that awesome that God doesn't have any mood swings? That he's the same. Amen. He's the same. He's faithful. I love 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we are faithless, even when we fail, he says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. That's why we say God can do all things, but there's a few things he cannot do. He cannot lie, the Bible says. Here we read that he cannot deny himself. God is faithful. Now think of this. All right, if Christ is being formed in us, then we are being conformed to his image. And that means something's happening on the inside. Character development. So then that makes men more faithful, more loyal, more trusted, because they are being conformed. Same thing applies to the ladies. Amen. Your character is being changed. It's being formed. Something's happening on the inside. And you begin to take on the very characteristic of God himself. And you do that through the person of Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, nobody reaches perfection on this side of heaven, right? We are all still pressing in. We're all still growing. We're still developing. We're still learning and moving forward. But thank God that every day I'm becoming more like him. Even Paul said, be imitators of God as dear children. Pattern your life after him. Man, and when you do, you are going to be so blessed. You're going to reap the benefit of that. See, we're talking about responses to adversities. God is faithful. He's faithful, number one. Here's the second one. God will keep us from breaking. I love Jude, verse 24. It says, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and falling into sin and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless in the presence of his glory with triumphant joy and unspeakable delight. That's an accolade to God. That's a praise to God. Now unto him, you know, it's unto Jesus Christ, unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling. How many stumble and fall? But guess what? He says here, we don't have to. Why? Because God has a plan. Hallelujah. God has a plan. And his plan is to see you through. He will keep you from breaking. You may feel you are at the breaking point and you need something to help you get through. See, that's why the world is so in bondage to so many things, because, you know, they go to these, they experiment with these things. Remember, that's kind of the basis of the word temptation, the experiment, the experimentation. Think of the era of the 60s. That was an era of experimentation. Mind-altering drugs, and, you know, people like Timothy Leary, you know, with those philosophies, you know, of the 60s. You know, love, peace, do what you want, expand your mind. You know, it was an era of experimentation. That's the very basis of the word tempt, the word temptation. But thank God. I mean, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, according to Jude 24, we don't have to fall. We can be preserved. There is a place of immunity in the presence of God. And that's what Psalms 91 is all about. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Place of immunity. Here's the third thing. There is an escape plan at the breaking point. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says that He will make a way. He will make a way for you to get out of it. So you might be strapped with debt, trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of this dilemma? God has a plan. Are y'all with me? God has a plan. You might be dealing with the heartache of a broken relationship and trying to recover from that. How are you going to recover? God has a plan. He has a plan. Hallelujah. Thank God. Because at every breaking point, there is an escape plan. And I'm going to leave you with this. We find it in James chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. Because I thank God that God is a God of grace. He's a God of grace. And everything that we enjoy is because God is a God of grace. And this is what we read in James chapter 4. And I'm going to leave you with this. In verse 6 it says, but He gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. He's talking about the temptation. He says, this is why, He says, God sets Himself, here it is again, He sets Himself against the proud and the haughty. But notice what it says next. But He gives grace continually to the lowly, to those who are humble enough to receive it. To receive it. Humble enough to receive it. He goes on and he says this. So be subject to God, or be submitted to God. Be subject or submitted to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Am I reading that right? Resist him, and he's going to run? Because if you're fleeing, you're running. Hello, somebody. Yeah, if you're fleeing, you're running. You're running away from the situation. Do you get the revelation of what this is saying? He gives more and more grace, the power of the Holy Spirit, to meet the evil tendency. When the devil comes against you, or when you get pulled over for that speeding ticket, do you know who I am? It's not going to work with the police, but it's going to work with the devil. Hallelujah. Do you know who I am? I am a child of the Most High God. Now listen, if sin has stolen your authority, then you're in trouble. But if you're walking in the presence of God, because the key right here, he says, be submitted to the Lord. Be subject to God. That means I'm walking according to His word. I'm seeking to live in obedience to what He says. And because of that, I have grace that's coming my way. And here's more grace. And then there's more grace. And then there's more grace. And then there's more grace. It never stops. Hallelujah. It's like an unlimited ATM machine. You just go and you, man, I don't know how much money do I have. You just keep drawing out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And your bank statement says that that you got, $1 million in there. Well, I don't know about you, but that would be an unlimited supply of $100 bills for quite a long time. Amen? But God says that His power, His grace is unlimited. Amen. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. I mean, that, my friends, grace upon grace. And then you are able to stand strong and say, the devil don't know who he's messing with. Hallelujah. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. Hallelujah. I'm not gonna reach a breaking point. Listen, life might throw some things at us and we might get pressed down. Even like last week, we might be pressed beyond measure. But thank God there is grace upon grace upon grace. Because He loves us with an everlasting love. And we understand that those forces are at work. That's why John 10:10, Jesus said it. He said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's His threefold purpose against you and I. To steal from you. To kill you if he can, to destroy you if he can. But Jesus said, but my plan, my purpose is to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly.